This is Phil Farron. And I am driving to the hospital. We have a friend, long time acquaintance, that he is actually in the hospital. I think had pneumonia, and then it got bad and worse, and then his heart stopped, and then they put him in a coma for a while, and now they're trying to bring him out of the coma, and now they've sedated him some more. And anyway, so his wife and son are down still at the hospital, so I'm just going to make a quick trip down there and walk in and say hello and say, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you, going home. So, anyway, so this is probably going to be shorter, simply because, you know, I'm going to be heading to the hospital as opposed to be heading home, and I'm looking ahead of me, and I see lots of flashing lights. So I may need to find myself a street to go up. I'm trying to look and see if people are actually driving around it. No, it looks like there's been enough of an accident up there that people are not driving around it. So I'm going to take a different route. Whoa, it's completely closed off. Dun, dun, dun. Now you always wonder, like, oh, so what's going on up there? Ooh. But I don't think we're going to go up there and find out and get stuck somewhere. So turning, going a different direction. Anyways, I'm actually closing in. I can feel the end of the book coming. Of course, you know, I got to land the thing, which means that my little epilogue has to ring the bell. But I've got kind of an interesting... It's not where I was intending to try to hit the moment in the epilogue. It's a little different. This is going to be interesting to see if I can make this thing work. Yeah, it's gonna, because it's not my kind of typical thing. I mean, it's all in the same venues and the archetypes that I always use, but it was a little unexpected. I sort of stumbled into, when I was thinking about the epilogue and trying to ring the moment, make people tear up a little bit, I was stumbled across this idea, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. That is not the way I expected that to go. So anyways, but the end is in sight. I'm working through some of the last bigger pieces of it. You know, the conversations and the things to think about. And this whole book was actually about this type stuff. But that, I just got to get that written out. So there's a fighting chance that I might have this thing done by the end of this month. But then bunches of editing, and since it's longer than it's supposed to be, and that means it's going to take me longer to edit it up because I got to get through the book two or three times. And then, of course, got to get a cover on it and blah, 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 blah. So I'm still hoping tentatively I can have it out by March 1st so I can get started on the next one. Anyway, so that's all going fine. It's, you know, it's all going fine. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Good week at work. We got a lot of good things accomplished. Had some nice conversations with friends this week. I'm trying to think. I just got together with one person this week, I think. Yes, I think so. Had a nice conversation with him, though, this morning. And I came across, a buddy of mine had posted on Facebook a talk by Dennis Prager, a little presentation called I Am the Lord Your God. And I thought, you know, what he had to say was just excellent. And the reason I thought it was excellent is because it just falls right in line with the things I've been saying. So, isn't that always the way? I did have a talk with a buddy on Saturday, too, and we got talking about the way that people on the internet just seek out those who believe like they do and reinforces it. But I certainly was very happy when I heard Dennis Prager talk about these things, because it just gave me more ammunition for my viewpoint. So there you go. So he was talking about the first commandment. And he had an interesting little tidbit that he said, in fact, if you ask Christians and Jews, what is the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments? He said they'll actually give you different answers, which is, that's pretty interesting. Because in the Jewish mind, the Ten Commandments are really ten statements. So the first commandment for the Jews is, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, period. You know, where we would go on to say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's interesting, he started to riff on this first statement. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And he says, obviously the first part is that it's I am the Lord your God. I'm the one who's making these statements. And that's pretty important, because these aren't coming from man. They aren't happening by chance. These are coming from God, who has a right to give us guidelines for life. And out of that, then, we have an obligation. And he says this is really the beginning of ethical monotheism. That there is one God, and that God is the source of ethics, with an objective code of right and wrong that comes from God, and it transcends human opinion. Now, I know where it sounds like this is going, but it's not going there. That just isn't a rule set. What's interesting then is he started turning it, because he said, however, when you see the commandments, what the conclusion you come to is that what God wants most is that we treat other human beings morally. And that the commandments, in fact, do not center on God's requirements on our behavior towards Him, or you have to come and sacrifice to me three times, or you have to give me your children, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. That the commandments really are solely so focused on how we ethically behaved towards others. And he was saying even the commandments about having no other false gods or taking his name in vain are ultimately about morality. That's a completely different viewpoint than we typically have about the commandments, because we typically look at it as, okay, there's a God rule book and we got to follow his rules. But what God is really expressing in the commandments is that he wants us to act morally with each other. And Dennis Prager went on to say, you know, the thing we do for God, that thing that God really is requiring of us, is that we treat his other children decently. And he said, you can understand this, that when your children treat each other well, that makes you happy as a parent. But when they treat each other bad, like Asher, bless his heart, my little grandson, has discovered biting. So, now, it's not funny, but, you know, he's only done it a couple of times, and there was swift retribution when he's done it. So, you know, we're all hoping that he's going to get the hint that it's not a good idea to bite people, but he's learned that somewhere in that instinctive fleshly response, he's going to bite. So that makes no one happy, except maybe Asher. So the third thing that Dennis Prager was saying was important about this is that the first statement, this first thing, is all about freedom. He said, what's interesting is that when he says, I am the Lord your God, he doesn't say, I am the Lord your God who created the heavens and the earth, therefore you should listen to me. What he says was, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And what Dennis Prager pulls out of that is that what is most important to God is that he brought them out of bondage into freedom. Another way to say that is that what God desires most is that we live lives free. And the only way we can truly live a free life is to live a moral life. I would say to live a life according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And if you look at all the thou shalt nots, thou shalt nots, thou shalt nots that are in the commandments, what you really see is doing those things that the commandments are telling us not to do. The only reason you do them is if you were being driven there by your flesh. So what's interesting about all that to me is that really what Dennis Prager is saying is something that's very, very similar to what I've been feeling and saying now for a while, that my duty, my thrust, my goals in this life is to live a life of kindness and generosity and grace and mercy and love, to show that to others and to encourage them to live lives according to the Spirit and not to the flesh. I will certainly share with people and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for me. Certainly. There's no question that I will do that. But I don't feel a need the first time I meet someone to start beating them over the head with the fact that if they don't confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. I just don't think that gets us where we need to be. What does get us where we need to be, I think, is when people see our lives of kindness and grace, see our moral lives, not just from a do's and don'ts perspective, but from the way that we treat each other decently, from the way that we love each other. And I think that a lot of what Dennis Prager is saying here has a tremendous amount of value, because we really need, I think, to get refocused, or at least this is what I'm trying to do in my life. We need to be focused not so much on some kind of a rule book, so much as being focused on relationship and being people who others sense that we are gentle and kind and enthusiastic about life. We're hopeful. We are joyful because what God has done for us. I got a little tickled this morning because we had a waitress that we hadn't had before, and my buddy got there a few minutes before I did, and so I bustled in, you know, greeted him, "How you doing, buddy?" And, you know, sat down. So she bustled over right after that, and as she walked up, I looked at her and I said, "How are you today?" You know, and she went, "Oh," you know, because you can just see her face change. It's like, "Oh, hey, you're a happy guy, aren't you?" You know, and so we chatted for a little bit, and you know, and you know, she just immediately perked up when she saw my smile, and you know, you could tell she just lit up a little bit, and we chatted, and because that response, if someone is looking for those who are filled with joy and they resonate with that, that's what I think we should be as Christians. And I understand everybody's not an extrovert. I understand that. But we can all be kind. We can all be gentle. We can all be generous. I was talking to a buddy on Saturday about how diverse the human race are and how amazing that diversity is. And I said, you know, as far as what people believe politically and you know, all that sort, I said, that's not really that important to me. But I said, we all can come together. I believe we all can come together and be generous towards each other and kind towards each other and merciful and gentle. We can all do that. And I think if we had more of that, if we exhibited those qualities more, I think we would do well. And we would commend ourselves better with those who have yet to confess Christ and live what we would consider to be a Christian life. I'm looking for a parking place, which is the reason I'm kind of going, it's because I'm here and I'm just looking around. Here we go. So anyways, I thought it was good. Dennis Prager, I got a little tickled because I'm not really sure if he actually has a university or he just really likes his teaching, because his Facebook page has Prager University on it, which, okay, that's fine. But what he had to say was really, really excellent, and it was very, very interesting. So anyways, I'm at the hospital. I'm going to go in and see my friend, and then I'm going home. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it to the hospital.